You're listening to Morning Edition on Red River Radio. I'm Chuck Smith. This week, commentator Gary Joyner looks into the conflict in Iraq and asks, who are the Kurds and how does their history matter?
With the fighting going on between ISIS and Iraq lately, we have heard a lot about a sect of people in northern Iraq who are our allies. The largest group of people in the world without an officially sanctioned homeland is the Kurds. There are, by most estimates, between 15 and 20 million of them. While most are Sunni Muslims, they are not Arabs. Their native region spans a large area. It encompasses portions of Turkey, Armenia, Syria, Iraq, and Iran. Almost all of this region where these hardy people live is called Kurdistan, or Land of the Kurds. It is ruggedly mountainous, places that they have lived long prior to contact with the West. The oldest account of the Kurds is found in the ancient Greek historian Xenophon's Anabasis. In this epic of a march of 10,000 Spartan warriors trying to return home from Persia, the author calls them Karduki. He also says that they were a fierce and protective mountain-dwelling people who attacked the Greeks. This was in 400 BC, which shows that the more things change, the more they remain the same. Every subsequent contact with a great or regional power shows their tenaciousness. When the Romans encountered the Kurds, they referred to them as the Corduini. The Romans made portions of Kurdistan a province in the late Republic and through the Empire until 384 AD, relying on the southern portions of Kurdistan to anchor their holdings. The Tigris River in modern-day Iraq was the eastern edge of the empire. In 643 AD, the Arab armies that had been rapidly expanding all over the Middle East under orders from the Prophet Muhammad reached Kurdistan. Over the next 300 years, they converted the Kurds to Islam and various caliphs garrisoned armies in their territories. The Kurds in Mosul in northern Iraq gave the Arabs the most trouble during this period. In the late 900s, the Arabs divided the Kurdish territory into four major provinces, and this is the origin of some of our modern-day problems. During the Crusades, the most famous Muslim warrior was Saladin, a Kurd, but even he could not forge a separate homeland for his people. The Kurds were never trusted by the Arab Empire, the Seljuk Turks, or the Ottoman Turks. All of these great powers had vested interests in keeping the Kurds separated as part of their own schemes. The Ottomans divided modern-day Iraq into three provinces, keeping the Kurds in the north separated from the Sunni Arabs in the center and the Shiites in the south. Prior to World War I, the Kurds moved across boundaries with relative ease, their primitive nomadic way of life making this a necessity as they grazed their sheep and goats. Then the Ottomans sided with the Germans and lost the war. Their empire did not survive long after hostilities ended. New states were created throughout the Middle East, but the Kurds were left out. This is in spite of the fact that they were promised a homeland by the Treaty of Sèvres, one of the treaties that accompanied the Treaty of Versailles. The Kurds tried to forge a homeland during the 1920s and 1930s, but each attempt was put down by the Turks. Today, the Kurdish Workers' Party is considered a terrorist group. The Turks have used their status to prevent a recognized Kurdistan. In spite of fierce regional problems, the Turks, Syrians, and Iranians all have vested interest in Kurdistan, as do the Iraqis. One of the primary reasons for U.S. tension with Iraq was the wholesale slaughter of Kurds in northern Iraq by Saddam Hussein. The Kurds are living proof that a harsh environment cannot stifle the will of an independent people, demonstrating that across the millennia of strife and turmoil, history matters.
Dr. Gary Joyner is an associate professor of history at LSU Shreveport and is featured each Tuesday morning at 7:45 on Red River Radio.